Welcome to Women Entrepreneurs Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Bailey. And when I started this show in 2008, I was on a mission to promote women-owned businesses and help women succeed by providing resources and valuable tips from other women and men, small business owners. In each interview, my guests speak openly about their triumphs, the scary times, and tough decisions they have to make along the way. Women Entrepreneurs Radio is about showing women how to harness their natural strengths to achieve success on their own terms. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Women Entrepreneurs Radio with your host, Deborah Bailey. I'm really glad you could join me today. And if you're listening to this show on Podomatic, you can also find it on iTunes, on Spotify, and on iHeartRadio, and a few other platforms. You can go to womenentrepreneursecrets.com, and you can click on the podcast button in the menu bar, and you will see links to the other platforms that the show is on. And also, you can download the guidelines for the show if you're interested in being a guest. That's a great place to get it from. Or also you can send me a message using that website if you have an interest in being on the show or being featured on the blog. It's a great place to come to just let me know about that, and we can chat a little bit. So also you can visit my website, my personal website, thebaileycoach.com, to find out a little bit more about me and my books and the coaching. And you can also go to brightstreetbooks.com to find out about stories I've written and published, and you can find out more information about those and also where to buy them. So also one more thing I want to mention, it's great if you are on Apple Podcasts, if you could leave a review. 5 stars is always wonderful, because the best way for people to find the show is to have more reviews to show what you've enjoyed about it. So I hope that you'll take the time to do that. That would be really great. So we're going to get started today with my guest. Christina Geist is a brand strategist, entrepreneur, and children's book author who lives in New York City with her husband, NBC and MSNBC host, Willie Geist, and her 2 children. Christina owns 2 companies, True Geist, a branding and design firm, and Boombox Gifts, maker of customized memory boxes that help you crowdsource love. She has self-funded Boombox for 4 years with her income from True Geist and taken 0 outside investment. In her spare time, she writes picture books for children, and her second title released by Random House was on July 16th. So welcome to the show, Christina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm really happy to speak with you, and it sounds like you are very busy with all the things.
I think we're all busy. I'm no exception.
True. This juggling is definitely something I think that women in particular are experts at. So this is really exciting to hear someone who has all these things going on. And also you shared some wonderful book news with me earlier, but I'll let you share that. I think that's so exciting.
Oh, yes. Thank you. We just learned last night that my second children's book, which just released a week ago, hit the New York Times bestseller list at number 4 last night. And I'm saying that out loud and pinching myself at the same time, because it was just really not even something that I had dreamed possible. I didn't think that they had printed enough copies of my book for that to even be possible. So recovering from that news today, and here we are.
Yes, that's fantastic. That's really the dream of a writer to hear those words. So I am so excited for you, and congratulations for that wonderful achievement. And your book has just come out, and it's got to have been a whirlwind for you.
Yes. But the picture books that I write, I started writing when my children were 3 and 5, and they're now 10 and 12. I wrote several manuscripts of stories that are all focused on two characters named Lady and Buddy, a brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
And based actually, I mean, we're talking about entrepreneurship obviously tonight, but based on really insights and inspiration from the 4 years I spent not working and at home with them, taking a break from corporate America when they were babies, and all of a sudden finding myself inspired and the stories were dancing around in my head that I finally sat down and wrote when the kids were 3 and 5. And 4 years later, I got my first book released, which was a bedtime story called Buddy's Bedtime Battery, which is more focused on the little brother in that mm-hmm. particular story. And here we are now 3 years after that. And Sorry, Grown-Ups, You Can't Go to School is now a New York Times bestseller. But these are manuscripts I wrote on my laptop, sometimes at Starbucks, sometimes at my kitchen table at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning when I had a little quiet time and a cup of tea. Many years ago. So it's been a long road to get here, and certainly didn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But it's just so exciting, though, to see things come to fruition, I'm sure. At this point, that really must make you feel great. So, you know, let's touch on that a little bit. You know, how did you get started to have all these things going on?
Sure. So as I mentioned, I took a break, which I think a lot of women are faced with at some point in their careers or in their lives or both, where there seems to kind of be for a lot of us a bit of a breaking point. And for me, that breaking point came when my kids were 3 and 1. And I had been most recently working at Johnson & Johnson, actually, in-house in the global strategic design office there. I am a brand strategist, so I'm essentially a creative writer and a copywriter, but it comes in different, there are different labels for that in different environments. But really my job at J&J was to help the designers in the design team, particularly designing packaging and writing the content and the copy on packaged goods, connect better with the consumer. So it was my job to kind of understand, empathize, and interpret a lot of different data points and understand retail and competition and help drill that down into a strategy for how products show up and behave as brands in the marketplace. So my background really is in storytelling and in strategic thinking and creative strategy in more traditional corporate environments, whether it be at Johnson & Johnson or before that in a branding firm called Interbrand, which is a large global branding agency. And before that at many different PR firms, even in-house at a small beverage startup. So I've kind of always in my career been a storyteller in one version or another. And when I was home for 4 years taking a break with my kids, those stories were going to percolate and come out one way or another, and I no longer needed to funnel them into my work, and all of a sudden I had the headspace to write creatively for myself. And so mm-hmm. that was the genesis of where my children's books came to be. So that's kind of one hat I wear is children's book author. Mm-hmm. Another is still that traditional day job of doing brand strategy work. And about 4.5 years ago, my old creative director named Todd True, our business is called True Geist. Mm-hmm. He and I had worked together at Johnson & Johnson. We had also worked together at Interbrand. And so he contacted me about 4.5 years ago and said he was ready to take a breather from corporate America. And maybe the two of us could open our own shop together as a boutique agency. He thinks in pictures, he's a designer, and I think in words, and I'm a writer. And we had always worked together in tandem on projects and thought, maybe we could do that off on our own. And, you know, maybe that could work. At the same time, so that's hat number two.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, my friends were starting to turn 40 and my father turned 70 in the same year, and I was making memory boxes for them. The idea was born among my best friends from college. We collectively decided to make a memory box for the first among us to turn 40. Mm-hmm. We bought a jewelry box online and we set out over email to try and track down as many people as we could in her life. have them write her a message and print it onto cards and put all of those cards inside of a jewelry box. After creating the first one for her and then being hooked immediately and creating another one for my father a month later, I realized there was a very, very big idea there, in that there was no service out there to help me digitize that process of tracking people down and getting their content and then helping me design it and helping me find the right box that everything would fit beautifully inside of. Rather, I was left with this kind of DIY nightmare that ended up being the most beautiful gift I had ever given, but it was really difficult to just physically do and put it together. Mm-hmm. So right as Todd sort of had the idea to go into business together, and I had this idea off to the side, I actually realized that I could do my day job and then start a startup as almost a side hustle, using the capital and the income from this young agency to ideally build the digital experience and the infrastructure that I needed to build, which ultimately became Boombox Gifts. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like I jumped off a big high dive around my 40th birthday, in that all three of these hats kind of came into my life to wear at the same time. Mm-hmm. But really, they were all going to only happen if I turned 40, because I needed all of the life experience and the career experience that happened to get me to that point to even have these ideas in the first place.
That makes sense. When you consider that the life experience that goes into things that people create, sometimes going through things and having them fail, not having them work the way you thought, and then coming back with something else because you learned, that is really something that can't be taught.
True. Yes. You know? Yes. Yes. I'm a big believer in life happening to me, mm-hmm. and letting it happen to me. And as life happens to me, I grow older, but I also grow smarter, mm-hmm. and I gain life experience that shapes the next step. And so I think a lot of entrepreneurship is about timing. And for a lot of us out there, it's not the moment you graduate from college and go launch the next big idea in technology. That's actually not most people's story. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people, their entrepreneurial pursuit is born out of either a need in their own life that they uncover, mm-hmm. and they then just have an itch that they need to scratch to solve that problem, not just for themselves, but for other people out there that might be having the same problem. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us, it's also comes in the form of this kind of side hustle where you do your day job and keep doing that and test the waters and experiment a little bit with whatever this idea may be. And a lot of people start out that way, where they keep doing what they're doing, and then they test out the idea and give it just as much, juice as it needs to actually figure out if it has merit. And that process is, those two things don't need to be mutually exclusive.
So how do you, balance all of this that you're doing and these passions that you have and companies? How do you balance that from day to day?
It depends on the day. It depends on the day and the calendar that's in front of me that day. And to be honest, some days I'm going and taking the day off and picking up my kids from sleepaway camp, mm-hmm. and not working that day. And that's just the way it's going to be, because that's the priority that's in front of me at that moment in time. And so I prioritize what's the most important thing that needs to be done that day, which means a lot of things are not going to get done. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, for me, it feels like I have three jobs when you read it on paper, but in reality, a lot of us are juggling multiple things at the same time, even mm-hmm. within one job. So say, for example, you work at a law firm, you have multiple clients. Mm-hmm. So I treat my three, you know, professional pursuits as you would treat clients in a law firm or in an ad agency. Mm-hmm. And so one's kind of hot right now today, or there's a big meeting or a big presentation, so you're focused on that. And then it might quiet down for a couple of days and something else might, you know, start to percolate in another direction. So I think for me, it's about compartmentalizing and prioritizing. And that's been, you know, that's an exercise I'm still working through every day as to the best way to do that. But I don't know if it's balance for me, if it's more about prioritization, I think is the better way for me to describe my mental practice. Mm-hmm. As opposed to balancing, because one side is always going to be a little bit heavier than another,
right,
on any given day or even in any hour. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just being really disciplined about whatever the most important thing is right now and being okay with the rest of it waiting.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense, because usually when I had women entrepreneurs and mentioned balance, they definitely say that, you know, that's not exactly the best word, the best way to describe it. I think a lot of times people think that's what they're searching for, but it probably isn't realistic. It's, as you said, it's prioritizing and finding what's important and how to make that work.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a triage process. You have to be pretty disciplined about your time. Mm-hmm. And you have to forgive yourself. And I think I've learned along the way that the way I manage my to-do list has been it's been an evolution of different strategies, because I realized a couple of years ago that the strategy I was using was just making me feel like I was constantly failing or falling mm-hmm. short, because the list just got bigger and longer and scarier looking, and it never got better. I never stopped to celebrate any success along the way, because mm-hmm. it just made the list longer and longer. And I'm a list person. I need to visualize tasks, or they all sit in my brain and they do feel overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But there's a catharsis when I can write them all down, and then they're on the list. They may not get done, but they're no longer bouncing around like pinballs in my head.
Right. Right. It's always best, I think, to write things down, because when it's in your head, then everything just starts going. And then, as you said, it becomes very overwhelming. And then after a while, you don't know what you're supposed to do, and you're thrown off.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that makes a lot of sense. So as far as when you created Boombox, from what I think in the intro, that it was self-funded and mm-hmm. you know, that's how you did that. And I know a lot of times we hear so much about investing and investors. Why did you decide to do it in that way?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good question. It's a fair question, because I think funding is the number one hurdle mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. a lot of people. But in reality, the hurdle is if you take money out of the conversation and you just say, I have an idea, I actually don't know yet if the idea has merit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. When I first set out to say, I know these boxes are incredibly powerful, both for the person putting them together and for the person receiving one. And there's a beautiful thing that happens when you sit and you hold your life story in your hand and you read through it card by card and you read messages from everyone in your life that you were not expecting to receive, let alone expecting to receive all inside of a beautiful box. Mm-hmm. I knew in my heart that that was a powerful concept. What I didn't know was whether someone who's a complete stranger out there in the world would go to a website and pay $300 for that product, mm-hmm. which it, you know, was what it was going to cost to actually make the product from a technological standpoint, and also to print all of the cards, to design them all, mm-hmm. and to put them in a box that feels equally as valuable as the messages inside. So the boxes themselves are decorative objects and quite beautiful. And so it's definitely a premium experience. Well, I don't know if people are going to, first of all, emote in that way when a brand is involved. So I didn't know that. And you know, by a brand being involved, I mean that previously I was making these over email. So I would have emailed your best friends and said, you know, send me a note for Deborah for her birthday. And they're sending a note to me as your friend. All of a sudden now I'm asking them to submit a note through a website, through Boombox. And will that somehow inhibit them and their ability to emote? So that was a big question. So what I needed to do was answer that question. And so rather than looking at how much money I needed to raise to really launch a consumer brand, I had to look at how much money I needed to spend to create the technology that would enable that process. And if I could do that myself, and if I could pay for it myself using, you know, the income that I was making in my day job, and I could afford to live, or personally, our family could afford to live without that income. That's a question, right? And so if I could do those two things, then I didn't have to go back and answer to any investors if the idea, in fact, didn't have merit. I only had to answer to myself. So it felt like less of a risk, because if it failed or if it didn't do what I thought it was going to do, I would still sleep well at night. I hadn't asked anybody else to take a leap of faith that I wasn't quite sure yet was the right leap.
Right.
Here we are 4 years later, we've produced thousands of boxes for all different life occasions, from happy experiences to very sad moments of reflection, whether it be a memorial or someone diagnosed with an illness. And people are trusting us in these very, very emotional moments in life. So I've proven that concept. So now if I needed to go out and seek outside investment, I would do that with total confidence. But I think for other entrepreneurs out there, I would say, can you actually dream big, but start small? And that all ideas need to start somewhere. And what's the bare minimum level of investment that you need to make to really test your idea? And to understand it better, to get feedback from the people you need to get feedback from, listen to that feedback, which is hard to do for some people. A lot of people seek feedback, but really what they want to hear is, it's great. It's
great. Right.
And when you don't hear that, you've got to, you know, ask yourself, A, are you willing to listen to it? And B, do you really want to ask for it in the first place? And so I think for a lot of entrepreneurs out there, I would encourage you to start as small as you can, and to not make the assumption that you can't do it without X dollars, or you know, hiring all these people or creating all this infrastructure to then push the button.
Right.
If you push the button first and just tell a few people, it gives you a much better chance to actually test the machine or whatever it is that you're building.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, because I think even just from sometimes seeing people's responses on social media when you know, they're hearing about companies and people being very successful or all that kind of thing, you know, I think sometimes people think they really have to start at the top and they already have to have everything in place, and they don't maybe don't understand, or maybe a little afraid of that testing time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And it's because you don't really want to hear that something's wrong with the idea. You don't, you know, you think you're going to go into it and build it and ta-da. It's just what I imagined. And in reality, a business is really organic. And it's not predictable in the same way, you know, when you have a child, nothing's predictable. It's similar, you know, a young business is a lot like a new baby. You don't know it yet. And you've got to kind of grow up with it and nurture it and observe it and let it take shape. And that can be very uncomfortable. That process can be very uncomfortable, and that can, it can keep you up at night because it starts to move in directions that you didn't expect. But for me, not having anyone else's money involved in that gave me peace of mind that I could pivot, I could make changes, I could question it out loud in front of my team and ask tough questions of everybody. Is this working? Are we wrong? You know, and no one was shy to speak up and answer that question because we weren't scared of, you know, so-and-so that we were going to have to pick up the phone and call and justify the check that they had written us.
Yeah, that's a great point to make, I think, for people to hear who may not realize that getting that check also has some strings attached.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I don't think everyone knows that.
Yes. One of my friends who's a far more successful entrepreneur than I am, who sat with me just a few months after I had turned the Boombox website on, he said, if you can avoid taking anyone else's money, avoid it as long as you can. And I really listened to that and took it to heart. And it's hard. It's hard when you sit down 4 years later and you do the math and, you know, you look at something objectively and you look at it in that way. It can be hard sometimes. But at the end of the day, what I set out to do was to build a beautiful brand, and I've accomplished that. So I'm very proud of that. And I believe now that it has the future I had hoped for. And again, now if I have to sit across the table from someone and say, hey, take a bet on this, take a chance on me, this is a solid bet, and I'm going to tell you why. It's a very different conversation than it would have been 4 years ago, which it would have been, hey, can you take a leap of faith with me? And so, you know, I think that's been my story. It's not everyone's story, but that, you know, mine is the only one I can tell. So there it is.
So you have had your career in branding 20 years. And when it comes to writing children's stories, you know, what are you drawn to do that?
Oh, sure. I mean, I draw exclusively on experience and insight from my experience, not just with my own kids, but I have let's see, I have there are 11 grandchildren in across both sides of my family. And I love all of them and watching them and observing them in their hilarious different phases of life. And also, as my kids were young, just the things you see and learn on the playground and in the preschool classroom, and making all those friendships with all their little buddies and all their moms and caregivers over the years, just gave me a bunch of ideas, to be honest. And I saw these moments in everyday life, in everyday parenting, that are, you know, straightforward moments like the bedtime routine, and just had a little bit of a different take on that. And that's, you know, Buddy's Bedtime Battery was born from the need in my life to figure out a way to calm my toddlers down when they moved into big kid beds and they were no longer confined to a crib, yet they were certainly not old enough to really sleep in a bed. And so they were wandering around. They, you know, we would say goodnight. We would read all the books. We would do all the steps. And then, oh my gosh, this person can just stand up and get right out of that bed and, you know, be walking around the house or walking around the apartment. at all hours. And one night just found myself telling my daughter, it was my older child, that beep, beep, okay, your feet are off. We're turning them off. Beep, beep, we're turning off your knees, and sort of beeping her different muscle groups down for bed, which is a real technique called progressive muscle relaxation that I had learned in a wellness class when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I always remembered it. I didn't do it every day by any means, but I just always remembered that philosophy of kind of moving through your body. And I just started to do that with her. And that's the inspiration for Buddy's Bedtime Battery, which is about a little guy who is in his robot pajamas and insists that he's a robot. And sometimes it's difficult to get a robot to go to bed. And so his family, rather than fighting against that and arguing with the robot, they all kind of get on board and get involved in this bedtime routine where they power him down for bed. And so those stories, and Sorry Grown Ups is born from my challenge getting my kids ready for school, for preschool, for kindergarten, for summer camp. Mm-hmm. All of these things that they go off to do that are actually quite overwhelming for them. And I say, as an adult, if you were told every September that you were going to start a brand new job with a new boss in a new mm-hmm. office mm-hmm. with totally new job responsibilities and people you've never seen before, go, you would be anxious and overwhelmed as an adult. And so, you know, kids are going through that every single fall. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the books out there really lean in on what I call the three S's. Someone's sad, they're shy, or they're scared. Mm-hmm. And all the back to school stories that I was taking out of the library or purchasing at the bookstore for myself to help my kids with this transition, mm-hmm. they were not helping me because they were all sad, shy, and scared. And those mm-hmm. were the emotions that we were trying to overcome.
Right.
Not the emotions that we really wanted to focus on. So Sorry Grown Ups turns that upside down. And of course, all the grown-ups are trying to go to school, which is a very exclusive VIP experience that only kids and teachers can have. So it's a really fun story. So they're born from my life, from my own kids and all the kids that I know. And it's so much fun writing children's books. It's like a ticket, a free pass to go into schools and preschool. And I get to go see all my little friends and visit mm-hmm. with them and read with them. So I actually get to go to school mm-hmm. as a grown-up, which is a pretty fun gig.
That sounds great, though. That sounds wonderful. So, Christina, please share where people can find out more about you and your companies and your books.
Sure. The easiest place is actually just myname.com, ChristinaGeist.com. Mm-hmm. And that website has links through to True Geist, my branding firm. We love to work with clients of all shapes and sizes, and we work with a lot of startups. So if there are entrepreneurs out there who are ready for a logo design or a package design or even just a business card design or a tagline or a story, or maybe they even need a name, that's the kind of work that we do at True Geist. Boombox is accessible there too. The website for Boombox is boomboxgifts.com. And those, as I mentioned, are the gift of a lifetime, and we'd love to help you create one for someone that you love, or even your boss, who maybe you don't love, but they may be retiring. We do a lot of corporate gifting as well. Mm. And then my books are available anywhere that you love to buy books. You know, independent bookstores carry my titles, also Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and that's all accessible through ChristinaGeist.com.
Wonderful. So, Christina, you know, what's next for you? What's coming up?
Oh, well, right now I'm just going to wake up and try to move all three of these things forward on a daily basis.
Right.
And I'm not one to make five-year plans. I really, like I said, I just like to let life happen to me and roll with it as it comes and goes. But we've got exciting work ahead of us at True Geist. We've got some really fun clients in the studio right now that I love working with. This Sorry Grownups is out right now, so there's a lot to do. I've got a lot of friends to see, schools and libraries to visit. I do that all the time, by the way. If someone would like me to come visit your school or your library, you can email me through christinageist.com. There's a little email button there. Mm-hmm. And then Boombox, we're just continuing to help people love each other. So if I can wake up every day and do that in some small way, then I'll feel pretty good about myself.
That's fantastic. And all of these things that you're doing, it's really positive and helpful and fun and all, you know, that's a great feeling, I'm sure.
Thank you. Yes, it is. And I think, you know, we all need to kind of find those magical moments of joy in our day. And, you know, for some of you out there, it might not be at work. You know, work might not be magical or joyful right now. You know, so the question is, where is that in your life? Mm-hmm. And how do you turn up that dial a little bit more?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what we're all searching for when we talk about balance, is how to, you know, actually tip the scale in the direction of joy on a daily basis and to have more of that. So I'm always searching for that. And, you know, I invite ideas. I think we're all on this journey together.
Well, usually I ask for final thoughts, so I don't know if you'd like to add anything to that, but what you just said is really marvelous.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, and I thank you for, you know, taking the time to join me today, because I'm sure you're very busy with all of these things going on and also your book news for today. So I'm sure there's a lot for you right now, but I'm so glad that you could share everything you're doing with my listeners. I really, really appreciate that.
Thank you. I wish all of them good luck with your venture, whatever it may be. And, you know, I can't wait to learn about it from you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, everyone, I know you enjoyed this show. Please make sure to share this on social media, share it with your friends, let them know to listen in. And as of course, as I mentioned earlier, please also share your feedback and reviews, particularly on Apple Podcasts. That would be wonderful. So once again, it's Women Entrepreneurs Radio with your host, Deborah Bailey. So glad you could join us today, and we'll see you again next time. Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can also join in the conversation on facebook.com/womenentrepreneurs and on the website, womenentrepreneursecrets.com. And don't forget to listen in on dvcoach.podomatic.com and on iTunes.